Welcome to our podcast.
So what do you think? The podcast where we chat about the Bible from Genesis to Revelation with friends, family, and loved ones. We laugh.
It's the laver where they wash up. Then when
wash up.
I'm from Missouri, so y'all leave me alone.
She's from Missouri.
She really means wash.
I'm learning more and more how little I know.
Day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing. I can't do this.
We do impressions.
Hello. I'm Bob the Tomato.
Hi, this is Chang's Chinese Restaurant.
We get a little silly.
Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
I feel I have a hard time with
Not condiments. She loves ketchup and mayonnaise.
So, in geniuses.
Geniuses.
That's our Southern accent coming in there, folk.
I'm just a little black queen.
A little serious.
My spirit, Bubba, what if I give you what you deserve?
And a lot grateful.
When you feel that, you know, where is God? Well, that's him.
That's him showing his love.
Yes, he's got all these people loving on you.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And like,
as we ask and answer questions about the Bible, faith, God, and everything in between. Welcome to So What Do You Think? Take a load off, get comfy, and stay a while.
Hey guys, welcome to So What Do You Think? I'm here with my mom, Helen. Hi, Mom.
Hi, everybody. It's been a while since we've been together. Miss being
on here.
It's been
a long time. Feels like, I think, has it been 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah,
does it seem that long?
No, it's been that long.
So
I think it has.
Get us caught up with you and Bubba because y'all have been through some stuff.
Yeah, he's getting weaker and weaker, and we're having some issues there in trying to get his IV infusion kind of settled down, hoping that will give him some strength. Had problems mm-hmm. with, you know, some of his infusions. And so anybody out there that can and will, just pray for him for strength. He's reached a point where he can't even by himself get up the 2 steps from our den into the other part of the house.
Yeah.
So dealing with that. And, you know, today's our 41st wedding anniversary. We were married 41 years ago.
Oh, wow. Happy anniversary.
It was a Friday night we got married, but it was actually July the 25th. 41
wow.
years ago. So, and God has been part of our marriage because without him, we would have never made it.
Yeah.
You know, with 10 children, 5 of his and 5 of mine and about mm-hmm. 18 grandchildren. And now we have about 18 great grandchildren. And, mm-hmm. you know, with what's going on physically with him, we wouldn't have made it without God being just right in the middle of our lives and giving us strength
yeah.
and hope for the future.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I'll have to call him and tell him personally.
Yeah, he'll like that.
Yeah. Are y'all going out dancing on the town?
Yeah, we sure are. Mm-hmm. We ordered DoorDash for our anniversary dinner.
What was it?
Jim and Nick's. We got Jim and
hey,
Nick's. Yeah, that's
good.
Yeah, their chicken is so good. So,
well, yeah, that's awesome that y'all have been together 41 years. So every, you know, sometimes you look on the outside, it always looks easy, but it's not.
Oh, it has not been easy. We have had some very, very, very rough patches.
And look at y'all now.
Yeah. And if we had not had the Lord in our lives, we would have been divorced many years ago, many, many years ago.
I mean, I appreciate you being honest about that. That probably it could encourage some people. I wanted to also give you an update on JJ because when we took this break, we didn't know all this was going to happen, but JJ's mom fell and hit her head and kind of her face area, and they took her to the hospital. And Ann came in town, had to come in town and help.
Now, Ann's her sister.
Ann is her sister. And
JJ's sister.
They said she didn't have a concussion, but She had all the signs of a concussion. She was hallucinating and she got sick. And I mean, I can't believe she didn't have a concussion. But she was having a really rough time after that. And they ended up deciding to call hospice, because hospice is kind of changed through the years, where it's not necessarily an end of life. You're only going to live 2 or 3 weeks. It's more of a support system that comes in and evaluates everything and helps you through it. And they had to hire some caregivers. So JJ's been through a lot. So pray for her and her mom.
Yeah.
And her sister. And then I had surgery, which is no big deal. I'm healing fine and everything. But that break was kind of like everybody needed it. You know, it's like God ordained, right?
So yeah, you did an excellent job of going back into some of our previous ones and pulling some of those out. You pulled out some really good ones that I had forgotten about.
Yeah.
I enjoyed listening to them myself again.
You're like, oh, wow, I said that?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we're going to talk about the millennium today. So it's a heavy topic. I mean, there's a lot to it. So I kind of asked Mom to tackle it, and she's enjoyed it thoroughly, I think.
Yeah.
So let's start, Mom.
Well, with everything that's been going on in the world right now, you know, you can't turn the TV on or listen to the news on the radio, or I don't know if anybody reads the newspaper anymore, but any of that without realizing the world is changing, already has changed drastically, and is still in the process of changing even more. So It got both of us, I think, thinking of, you know, what's next to come. So Five things came to my mind that I know that people have asked and some people have gotten wrong and incorrect about what they think is going to happen. And we don't have all the answers. This basically is our opinion after reading scripture. So if you disagree with us, please let us know. You may have a better idea than we do. But the questions are, I'm going to go over the questions first, and then we'll take them one by one. First one is, when will the world end? Second one, what about the tribulation period? Third one, do we live in heaven and get wings like angels? Fourth one, what is the millennium? And then what happens after the millennium is the fifth question. So let's look at when will the world end. And I hear people all the time, and probably a lot of them aren't Christians and haven't read the Bible, that make these statements. But, you know, they'll say, you know, be careful, the world's going to end soon. Well, the world doesn't end per se. It really does not end. The world that we know it is changed by God and becomes what's supposed to be, what it's supposed to be from the beginning of time, like a new Garden of Eden type of places where it'll be. It'll be like paradise, happiness and fruitfulness, a garden of delights, God's ideal environment for man. It will have a wide variety of trees, precious stones and metals, lots of rivers, gardens with richness and God's blessings on all people. We'll have a personal fellowship with God. We'll live in blissful innocence, no sin, no guilt, no shame. Man will not labor over his work like we do now. It will be a pleasure, not a burden. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Peace, living in a perfect world with Christ. He will rule the world in righteousness, truth, and godliness. No war, no fear. And people will live longer. Satan won't be around to give us diseases and afflictions. So there will be a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that a few minutes, you know, a few minutes later. But the world that we know and we're living in now is going to be changed drastically. It's going to be a while, though.
One of if we ever wanted to be like Adam and walk with God, we'll
be able to do it. We'll be able to do it. Yes.
Can you imagine?
Yes, I want to. I want to. Because sometimes I can close my eyes and I can see me walking with Jesus next to a brook in a a garden with all of this lush, you know, vegetation around us, and walking down a path and a brook along the side of us. And you can just hear that water just streaming down through there, rolling over the rocks, and such peace. Mm-hmm. It just gives you so much peace. Thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So next question, what about the tribulation period? Because that's got to happen first.
Would you say this is one of the most argued and disagreed about passages or topics in the Bible?
Probably.
I mean, it's pretty close.
Close to being at the top of the list, exactly. Because there's a lot of discussion and disagreement in the order of when things will happen. But it is definite there will be 7-year tribulation period, and Satan and the Antichrist will be in charge of the world. The first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is not going to be in power per se. At the middle of the tribulation, at 3.5 years, is when Satan will take over and enter the Antichrist and will become and working through the Antichrist through his body and here on earth.
We know it's a man, correct?
That's man everything. Yeah, that's everything I understand. And of course, you know, I'm a little probably have been, you know, given a little information through those Left Behind series.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they describe it so well. And that's, you know, that's what they believe, but they're going on scripture.
Well, it was fictional, but it was pretty.
It is fictional,
close to the Bible. Yeah,
I mean, it was biblical fiction.
I mean, honestly, not until I watched the movie did I really like go, "Oh, like I had no idea. I could not imagine that in my head how it even went." And even if they're wrong on some things, it just kind of enabled me to kind of have that vision or kind of idea. Okay, I see what that means or what that's saying.
Right.
Whereas before, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, it made the scripture more vivid.
Yeah.
Through those novels. And they were novels.
Right. Yeah.
The first 3.5 years won't be as bad as the second half of the tribulation. The second half is going to be really bad because the Antichrist and Satan are going to be in charge of what goes on here on the earth. The true believers will be taken out of the world and be united with Christ in the sky. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 4.
Okay.
16 through 18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So those of us that are alive, if this happens in September this year and we're alive, we won't rise first. The dead will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Well, you know, I can't let go that you just said September because people are probably going, what is she saying September for? Now, my mom is not predicting the end of, you know, all of this to happen in September. So you can explain yourself before we get a bunch of letters or something.
Okay. My belief is this. So you want me to go through it again, Missy?
Just real briefly explain about what you think.
Well, and I have found out, and I came to this without hearing anybody else say it, but since I have come to it, and I don't know if I came to it by myself or if God gave it to me. I would say God gave it to me. But
yeah,
there are a lot of people that believe this also. There are three high holy days that God gave to his people to celebrate. The first one is Passover. What happened at Passover is when God gave us Christ and he died on the cross for us. So you had Passover for the Jews, Christ for the Christians. The second one is Pentecost, which is the celebration of the first fruits. And that is when God gave us the Holy Spirit. The third one is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also right around the same time as the Feast of Trumpets, which is in September. This year it's in September. It changes, and I just briefly I'll say that the calendar for the Jews is different than the calendar that we use. I think we use the Gregorian calendar, and they have a different calendar. But everything that they celebrate can change from year to year because of their of the way their calendar is set up. But this year, the Feast of Tabernacles is in September the 20th through the 27th. The Feast of Trumpets is right around the same time. Did it not say here in Thessalonians that the trump call of God? So I believe that the third high holy day that God gave to the Jews is next, and that is when Jesus is going to call us home. He's going to call us out of this world. And I have found out since I was given this years ago that there are a lot of other people that believe the same thing. So basically,
the spring feast have been fulfilled, and the next holiday is the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yep.
And then there's two more that are the second coming of, represent the second coming of Christ. And I can't remember the last one is.
Do what now?
Well, don't worry about that. What I wanted to say is that the next holiday to be fulfilled is the Feast of Trumpets.
Exactly.
Which a lot of people believe is Jesus' return, but it could be any year.
Well, it could be any year. We don't know that. But the way we keep looking at what's going on in the world, a lot of us keep saying, come Lord Jesus and come in a hurry. The other thing, the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Trumpets, that period is also called the Feast of the In gathering.
So that makes sense too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It does.
Well, the other thing that was interesting, let me just hit on this real quick because you and I talked about it, about how the Feast of Trumpets, you don't know the day or hour it's going to start or end because it's actually the sunset on
I think it's the sunset on the last day of the Feast of Trumpets, and it's that last trumpet call that they
think.
So you
wouldn't be able to prick the day or the hour anyway, whoever tries to do that.
And in Matthew, it says that no man knows and not even the Son knows when it's going to happen. But that doesn't mean that we can't look at the signs and see that it's drawing closer and closer. Just means because of the trumpet situation, we don't know exactly when it's going to happen.
And there are other people who, like Robert, believes in a post-tribulation or something. He believes totally different than you and I.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead with your...
I think it's really funny that, you know, you think about, okay, there's going to be a trumpet sound and we're going to be out of here. The believers are going to be out of here. What do you think the people that are left behind are going to think this happened to all the believers that are gone?
Right. You want me to say it?
Go ahead.
Well, they've been setting us up for it.
I know it.
with all this the UFO sightings.
All of a sudden, UFOs have become popular with mm-hmm. everybody, and they're talking about
even the Pentagon's acknowledging it.
Yes,
it's true.
Yes. So I just think that they're going to come back and say that the UFOs came in and snatched all of these people and took them back to their planet, wherever it is. That would be, mm-hmm. A logical, to me, excuse.
And as far as what I think about UFOs, I think they're demons or something evil.
Yep.
So
I do, too.
If they do exist.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you had touched on the people. Some people believe in pre-tribulation, some mid-tribulation, and some post-tribulation. Now, most people I know believe or want to believe in the pre-tribulation. And that means that before the seven-year tribulation period starts, that we will be out of here. A lot of people believe that, no, it's going to happen at the 3.5-year period, mid-tribulation. And others believe, no, we're going to be here through the whole thing, and that's post-tribulation believers. I want to believe in pre-tribulation. The Bible is not clear at all as to when it will happen. We just all need to be ready. For the bridegroom mm-hmm. is going to come in the middle of the night when we least expect it. And as you and I talked the other day, Missy, about the Jewish wedding, mm-hmm. in a true Jewish wedding situation, the bridegroom comes after his bride at midnight when she is not expecting him. Now, she's going to be expecting him in the middle of the night, but she does not know what day he is coming.
And she lights her oil lamp.
She keeps her oil lamp. She's prepared.
Yeah.
And so Jesus, our bridegroom, is going to come for his bride, us, and we need to be prepared. We need to keep our oil lamps lit.
What does that mean exactly?
The light.
Be prepared.
Be prepared. Well, just, are you following him?
Mm-hmm.
Are you trusting him? Are you in a relationship with him? Or are you mm-hmm. waiting till the last minute and saying, oh, okay, I believe, or I said a prayer 35 years ago. That means I'm a Christian. No, are you in a relationship with him? Are you in a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you're not, you need to start preparing that. You need to start building that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it means?
I wasn't sure. I mean, I thought kind of along those lines.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're believing Christ, I feel like you're prepared and you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
I didn't know.
Let's go back to this. What sends you to heaven and what sends you to hell?
What sends you?
Go ahead.
Believing in Jesus Christ.
Sends you to heaven. Not believing in Jesus Christ, not having a relationship with him, you'll automatically go to hell. And I know a lot of people say, that can't be the God that I believe in. If God's like that, I don't want any part of him. Well, I'm sorry, but that's exactly what his scripture says. That's what he told mm-hmm. us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if any man wants to get to the Father, wants to go to heaven, you got to do it through Jesus.
And by not choosing, you are choosing.
Right. God is not sending you to hell. You are that's a default. Because you're not choosing God, you by default will end up not going to heaven mm-hmm. and being separated from God for eternity. Next question. Do we live in heaven and get wings like angels? No, we do not. We were not created to live in heaven. God tells us he will create a new heaven and a new earth. And after all of this millennium stuff is over and God defeats Satan forever and throws him and his demons into the fiery pit. God will bring down a new earth for us to live on. Angels are heaven beings. We are earth beings. Angels are created beings just like we are created beings. But when we die, we do not graduate to being an angel with wings. Sorry to disappoint some of y'all, because I know a lot. I hear it all the time. So-and-so died, and now they're my angel in heaven taking care of me. No, they're not. No, they're not people. We're not going to sit on a cloud and play a harp forever. We're going to come back to earth. We're going to live in a perfect new world after Jesus throws Satan in the abyss for 1,000 years. Then he'll release him, and then he'll completely destroy him and his demons and cast them all into the fiery pit forever.
I mean, a big question that we don't know the answer to is, why even have the 1,000-year millennium?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because why would you want to let him out again? I mean, and there's different answers to that. Some people say during the 1,000-year reign, people are born, or people were left over from the 7-year tribulation. There's so many answers that I really don't know the
correct one. Yeah, we don't.
I don't know why we live for 1,000 years and then Satan goes finally forever and ever instead of skipping the whole thing and throwing him in there right away, you know? I mean, it's a logical question.
Well, he'll lock him up in the abyss, but then he lets him out. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. Yeah.
We don't know. Okay. We don't know.
We don't know the answer to that.
I do know is that when God lets him out, that it says more than the sand on the shore, people turn away from God and go with Satan. And that blows my mind.
You've lived with Christ on earth for 1,000 years. Yep.
And so many people turn away from God.
Yeah.
And I just don't get that part. So anyway.
Well, they're doing it every day now.
Yeah. I mean, we might have the answer right there. Like, some people have to make a choice at some point that did not get that opportunity to make a choice.
Yeah.
Because it says, you know, that so many people are going to turn away from God at that point. And you can read that in Revelation if you want to read about it.
Yeah. There's a lot in Revelation, isn't there?
Yeah.
Okay. Fourth question was, what is the millennium? Or 1,000 years. The word millennium comes from the Latin words mille, which it means 1,000, and annum, which is year. The word
mille. It sounds like a country. It sounds like a country. Mille, goodness house.
The word millennium never appears in the Bible, but it speaks of 1,000 years in Revelation 20, and it's used there in Revelation 20 6 times. After the 7-year tribulation period has ended, an angel comes from heaven and binds Satan for 1,000 years. Let me read Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And this is John speaking. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So, it could be that it's just God's plan. Why did God not destroy Satan when he threw him out of heaven? Why did he throw him out of heaven and just let him come and, you know, aggravate the hang out of us for all these years?
So we could have free choice.
Destroy us. Yeah. So it's for some reason just God's plan, and we may never know what his and why his plan was what it was.
Well, I mean, who wants to make somebody and then you make them love you? I mean, He doesn't yeah. want to make you love him. He wants you to choose to love him.
Exactly. Exactly. So, living in the millennium for 1,000 years, can you imagine a world with no fear? No disease, no pain, no worry? That's what that kingdom's going to be like. For 1,000 years, there will be peace. We will live in a perfect world with Christ as our ruler. Christ is actually coming back, and he will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem and rule the world. It is something we can look forward to when our lives are difficult and when our world is filled with chaos, immorality, and despair. As we experience hard times, we find hope in our future with Christ. Here is a brief look at what the millennial kingdom will be like. Micah 4:4 says, "But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid." Can you imagine not being afraid of anything, not having to lock your doors?
Mm-hmm.
What about these words from Isaiah 19? "In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian will come into Egypt and the Egyptian into Assyria. And the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. And that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria." And right now, they hate each other. A blessing.
I was going to say, why are they talking about that specifically? Because they don't get along.
Well, yeah, because in that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria. So okay. You've got Israel, Egypt, and Assyria. And right now, all of the Iran, Iraq, all of those hate Israel, hate them with a passion. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a blessing in the midst of the land where the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, "Blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance." How peaceful is it going to be in the millennium? Egypt and the Assyrians and the Jews are all going to be allies. They will work together in cooperation. Isaiah 2:4 tells us that they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. "Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." During the millennium, there won't be any war.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I do too. And there won't even be any threats of war.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 35:5-6 says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." Because of the universe.
Wow, what awesome.
I know it. Think about it. Because of all these conditions during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, people will live for a long time. It appears that lifespans will revert to those of the era before the flood, when humans lived to be more than 900 years old. Isaiah 65:20 says, "No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. Someone who is 100 years old will be like a child." Disease will be abolished. The ordinary hazards of physical life will be under the direct control of the one whose voice even the winds and waves obey. Nobody knows the true day-to-day existence during the millennium, but with Christ ruling over all the earth, it must be wonderful. I'm excited about it.
That sounds awesome. Can we go today?
Yes, I want to. That's why I keep saying, "Come back, Lord Jesus."
Are you going to read number 5?
Yeah. So okay. The last question was, what happens after the millennium? And the only thing that I could pull together was 2 scriptures. So let's look at Revelation 20:7-10. "When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the 4 corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves, and the city he loves is Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had already been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that's what's going to happen to Satan after the 1,000 years. He's released for a period. He does go out and set up war and gets people against God. And God just sends down fire from heaven and just devours them.
Poof, you are done.
You are done. Then in Revelation 21, 1 through 22, 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is where we're supposed to live forever, and that's on the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And let me say something here. I keep hearing people say, in heaven, God will wipe away every tear, and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. This says it's going to be on the new earth. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And this is God saying to John. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to the mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a great precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now I'm going to skip over to verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. That's what we have to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
That is our reward.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't touch that. Do you have anything to add?
Actually, no.
That's a mouthful, wasn't it?
That's a mouthful. That is a mouthful. But, oh, my goodness, just thinking about it.
Well, I think the old, yeah.
That's where we're going to live forever and ever and ever. No disease. And if you wanna,
yeah. If you want to go there with us, then there's just, you just got to have a relationship with Christ. And, you know, just hunger for him. And you probably already have a hunger for him, and it's just a emptiness you feel. So I understand that. And, you know, I feel so humble even hearing some of that stuff. So I just want to pray with you. And if you want to pray with me to accept Christ into your heart and build a relationship with him, just bow your heads with me, or you don't have to bow your heads. Just pray with me. Say, dear Lord, please come into my heart. I invite you in, Lord, to cleanse my heart. I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross for me and shed your blood just for me, Lord. I know that you rose on the third day and sit at the right hand of the Father right now as we speak, Lord. And I've heard all these awesome things that Mom said, Helen said, and I want to have that too. I want to have that relationship with you. I want to have that perfect peace, Lord. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Help me grow closer to you and change me, make me, mold me, Lord. And send somebody in my life that can help me understand all that's written in the Bible, Lord. But most of all, send your Holy Spirit that I could be shown things that I wouldn't know in my normal mind, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, you always feel so, I do anyway, so clumsy, you know, and I heard something today Dr. David Cooper said, and I thought that's awesome. You know, you feel not worthy or clumsy or whatever it is. And he said, just remember the Titanic was built by experts. The Ark was built by amateurs.
That is true.
I love that. So I'm going to leave you with that thought.
So true.
And we pray for you guys, too. We know if we're going through stuff, all of y'all got to be going through stuff. So every person that can hear our voice, just know we're praying for you. And thank you for listening to our podcast and supporting us and praying for us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I love you, Mom.
I love you. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it. Are you interested in listening to more episodes? Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeart, and Spotify. Do you have a question you'd like us to chat about? Email us at swduthink@gmail.com. We have new episodes every Monday. See you next time.